Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
Today, we're embarking on a really fascinating journey. We're looking into Chapter 10 of the RAFT workbook,
That's right.
and our focus is mindfulness with clear comprehension.
A really key concept.
Absolutely. Our mission for this deep dive is to truly understand how this vital quality, well, it goes far beyond just simple awareness.
Watch further.
It becomes this powerful navigational skill for our RAFT, that's RAFT, pronounced raft,
Yetra.
helping us understand our actions, our intentions, and how we can skillfully navigate challenges,
Especially those tricky ones.
especially those linked to unhelpful cravings and compulsive patterns. So the big question we're exploring is, what does it truly mean to know what you're doing?
And why you're doing it.
And whether it's actually worth doing?
And that's precisely the heart of this deep dive, isn't it? We'll unpack how cultivating this deeper understanding empowers you to make conscious choices.
Instead of just reacting.
Exactly. Rather than simply reacting on autopilot, it's really about dismantling those automatic responses that can often steer us off course.
Okay, so let's get into it. The RAFT workbook quotes Ajahn Sisita, who says, "Clear comprehension means you know what you are doing, why you are doing it, and whether it is worth doing."
A very clear definition.
It is. But for those of us already familiar with mindfulness, maybe practicing it, what's that next layer? What makes clear comprehension different? How's it different from just, being present?
That's a crucial distinction, a really insightful question, actually. Clear comprehension isn't just bare attention.
Okay.
It's awareness that's infused with deeper understanding and wisdom.
Ah, wisdom.
Yes, it brings in our motivations, the ethical nature of our actions, which, as the RAFT workbook points out, includes things like the five gifts, those basic ethical guides.
Like generosity, ethical conduct.
Exactly, patience, effort. Things that really shape our intentions. It involves knowing both our internal landscape thoughts, feelings, and our external surroundings.
So inside and out.
Right. And this kind of deep awareness helps us understand the true nature of suffering, not just obvious pain, but that sort of pervasive dissatisfaction, dukkha, especially the dukkha caused by our attachments and cravings. By watching our states with this deeper comprehension, we gain insight into how desire and clinging actually lead to
It
difficulties.
makes sense.
Thich Nhat Hanh put it beautifully, and the workbook quotes him, "To be mindful means to be aware of what is happening in the present moment without judging or reacting."
Okay, standard
But
mindfulness.
then he adds, "This awareness helps us to identify the roots of our suffering and to transform it with compassion." That's the deeper layer.
That makes perfect sense. So if we think of mindfulness as the anchor keeping us present,
Yeah.
how does clear comprehension act? Is it like the skillful intelligence guiding our actions, like the compass?
Exactly, is the compass helping us steer our RAFT, the RAFT to freedom. Gotama, the Buddha, illustrated this perfectly. He
Okay.
described how a practitioner cultivates mindfulness with clear comprehension in just, well, everyday stuff, mundane activities.
Oh, yeah.
The RAFT workbook quotes him saying, "A practitioner knows when he is going forward and when he is going back. He knows when he is looking ahead and when he is looking aside.
Wow.
He knows when he is bending and stretching. He knows when he is carrying his outer robe, bowl, and robe. He knows when he is eating, drinking, chewing, and tasting." It goes on.
Defecating,
He knows when he is defecating and urinating. He knows when he is walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and remaining silent.
that's incredibly detailed. It really hits home that this isn't just passive observation of life.
Not at all.
It's an awareness that's active, deeply engaged with every single moment.
Yes, it implies an awareness infused with understanding and wisdom. And to help us apply this kind of detailed attention, traditional commentaries, which are referenced in the RAFT workbook, they elaborate on four key aspects of clear comprehension. Think of them as like practical checkpoints for that knowing Gotama described.
Ah, okay. So these are the actionable steps, the things we can actually do to cultivate that profound awareness. What are these four pillars?
Well, the first one is the purpose. This basically asks, why am I doing this?
Okay.
Is the action skillful? Is it beneficial? Is it aligned with your deeper values, your wellness goals? Wisdom clarifies our intention here.
So, like pausing before grabbing the phone.
Exactly. Pause and ask, what's the actual purpose here? Information. Or am I just, avoiding an uncomfortable feeling?
Got it. What's next?
Second is the suitability. This is about discerning, is this the right action for this moment? Is it appropriate for this specific time, the place, the circumstances you're in right now? Maybe checking your phone is suitable later, but perhaps not right in the middle of talking with someone.
That distinction between purpose and suitability,
yeah.
That's really helpful. You might have a good purpose, but the timing or place is just wrong.
Precisely. That happens all the time. Third, we have the mindful presence. This asks, am I maintaining mindfulness?
Staying with it.
Yeah. Am I staying grounded in my practice, not getting lost or distracted from whatever I'm focusing on or the activity itself? It's about staying with the doing, not just drifting off into a mental fog.
Right. And the last one.
And finally, the fourth pillar is unconfused. This means asking, am I seeing the situation clearly without misconceptions?
Seeing things as they are.
Exactly. As they truly are. Without the distortions that can come from craving or aversion or ignorance. For instance, am I really exhausted or am I just feeling aversion to starting that difficult email?
Ah, yes, I know that one.
We all do.
So when we bring these four aspects together, it sounds like applying them really helps us recognize those often unconscious motivations, habits, maybe even subtle delusions driving our behavior,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to those unhelpful cravings and compulsions. It's like seeing the whole mechanism.
Exactly right. It helps us bridge that gap. The gap between simply noticing an urge, which is mindfulness, and wisely choosing how to respond. That's mindfulness with clear comprehension.
Oh, okay.
So if mindfulness helps us be aware of our REFT, right, then clear comprehension is that crucial navigational skill.
The compass and the chart.
Precisely. It's knowing why we adjust the sail, judging if it's the right time, staying present while doing it, and seeing the actual weather conditions, not just reacting based on fear or fantasy.
Okay.
It ensures we use our RAFT skillfully, purposefully, on our journey to a calmer shore.
That makes perfect sense. And speaking of navigating, let's talk about how clear comprehension connects directly to that human struggle with habitual harmful patterns. You know, destructive compulsions.
Yes.
The RAFT workbook explains these often arise as a response to suffering, pain, difficulties, disappointments.
That's right. Whether it's a substance, a behavior, maybe relying emotionally on something external, these patterns often start from a desire to escape discomfort, to feel better somehow.
And the brain gets involved.
Oh, absolutely. Modern neuroscience shows how these all-consuming patterns can kind of hijack the brain's reward system.
Dopamine.
Primarily dopamine, yes. Yeah. When we engage in the behavior, dopamine gets released, creates a feeling of pleasure or relief, and over time, the brain gets conditioned. It learns to seek more of that stimulus, which leads to craving.
That's Huff cycle.
It is. But crucially, neuroscience also tells us the brain is plastic.
Neuroplasticity.
Exactly. It can change. It can adapt with new habits, new practices. And this is where clear comprehension isn't just about managing cravings. Mm-hmm. It can actually help re-architect your brain.
That's a powerful idea. Re-architects your brain. How does clear comprehension actually do that? How does it impact the rewiring? How do we use it to change those neural pathways?
Well, imagine your brain has this really well-worn path leading straight to that compulsive behavior.
Okay.
With clear comprehension, you're not just putting up a temporary roadblock. You're actively surveying the landscape for new, healthier pathways.
Building new roads?
Kind of. Every time you observe a craving as it arises, you notice it, you feel it, but you don't immediately react.
You pause.
You pause, exactly. You begin to weaken that old neural pathway associated with the unhelpful pattern. And every time you consciously choose a new path, maybe a healthier coping strategy, even if it's just a tiny detour at first, you're literally laying down new neural pavement, making that healthier choice easier next time, and the old one less compelling over time.
So neuroplasticity supports this.
Absolutely. It suggests new habits, new ways of thinking can genuinely diminish the hold of old patterns. Clear comprehension helps us become aware of our reactivity, that automatic jump.
The trigger response.
Yes, that immediate reaction to a craving or a trigger, maybe reaching for something or escaping into a behavior. Clear comprehension invites that pause, a moment to fully comprehend what's happening before reacting.
And modern psychology taps into this too.
Oh, definitely. Think about cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. It's all about identifying and disrupting automatic thoughts and behaviors. And mindfulness practices are often used right alongside CBT.
To build that awareness.
Exactly. To help individuals become more aware of these automatic reactions and then develop healthier coping strategies instead.
And it really reinforces that idea of riding the wave, doesn't it? That cravings aren't permanent. They don't have to take over.
Precisely. Through clear comprehension, we begin to understand, truly understand that cravings and urges, they aren't permanent fixtures.
They come and go.
They arise, they stick around for a bit, sometimes intensely, and then they pass away. Just knowing that, deeply understanding it, significantly reduces their power over us.
So you don't have to fight it so hard.
Well, you learn to watch it instead of being swept away. Instead of being overwhelmed by the discomfort, we can practice riding the wave of the urge, watching it come and go without feeling compelled to act on it.
Like watching clouds.
That's a good analogy. And Jack Kornfield states this really clearly in the RIFT workbook. He says, mindfulness is the key to breaking the cycle of harmful patterns. It allows us to see our urges, cravings, and habits clearly.
To see them.
To recognize them as impermanent and not who we truly are, and to make a conscious choice not to follow them.
That phrase, not who we truly are, is so powerful.
It really is. It creates space.
Which brings us beautifully to this really profound poem in the RIFT workbook by Portia Nelson, Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters.
Oh, wow, yes. Such a brilliant piece.
It's such a clear way to understand that whole progression, recognizing and then transforming these harmful compulsive patterns.
It truly is a remarkable narrative. Shall we walk through it?
Please.
Okay, so in chapter 1 and 2, the person walks down the street, falls into a deep hole again and again. They feel lost, helpless. It's not their fault. It takes forever to get out.
Total unconscious pattern.
Exactly. Trapped, unaware of their role or ability to change.
Mm-hmm.
Then, chapter 3, something shifts. Same street, sees the hole, and still falls in. But says, it's a habit. And here's the key. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately.
That's the beginning of clear comprehension.
That's exactly where it starts to activate. That awareness, that ownership, not blame, but responsibility, that recognition of the pattern.
That's a huge step, that moment of, it's my fault, not self-blame, but like acknowledging agency. It feels like a turning point.
Precisely, is taking genuine responsibility. And then chapter 4 is just, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it.
Simple as that.
Simple, but profound. This signifies actively applying clear comprehension, making a conscious choice based on purpose, suitability, seeing clearly. It's the deliberate redirection.
Right.
Choosing differently.
In chapter 5.
And finally, chapter 5, I walk down another street.
A completely new path.
Yes. A complete shift, really facilitated by deep, integrated, clear comprehension. It's choosing a new way altogether, one that's aligned with deeper values and ultimately freedom.
So clear comprehension is really what breaks that autopilot mode.
It is.
It lets us investigate the cravings. It weakens those habitual pathways we talked about. And it enables us to befriend suffering, maybe, with self-compassion.
Yes, absolutely.
Leading to those conscious choices that Portia Nelson illustrates so beautifully. That really does sound like liberation in action.
It is. And the RAFT workbook offers several, you know, practical exercises for cultivating this in daily life. I'd really encourage you to maybe consider trying them.
Like what?
Well, one is the body scan with clear comprehension. So as you move your attention through your body, maybe starting from your toes and moving up, you don't just notice sensations. You ask questions like, what am I feeling right now? Where is this sensation strongest? How is this related to my current emotions or my thoughts?
So it's not just noticing tingling in foot, but asking why tingling or what's linked to this.
Exactly. Connecting the physical to the mental and emotional states. It adds that comprehension layer.
Okay. What else?
Another powerful one is the mindfulness of craving exercise. When a craving arises, instead of immediately acting or pushing it away, you sit quietly and just observe it.
Observe the craving itself.
Yes. You ask, what does this craving actually feel like in my body? What specific thoughts are tangled up with it? What happens if I don't act on it right now? This builds that habit of observing with curiosity, not reactivity.
Builds that pause muscle.
It really does. And then there's reflection on intentions. Just throughout your day, pausing briefly to ask yourself those 4 pillar questions. Why am I doing this? Is this action aligned with my long-term goals? Does this action lead to more suffering or more freedom? Am I staying present? Am I seeing things clearly without delusion?
So like even with small things.
Especially with small things. Like the next time you find yourself opening a social media app, just pause for a beat. Ask, what's my purpose right now? Am I looking for connection? Or am I just scrolling to avoid, I don't know, that work task? Mm. Is this the most suitable use of my time right now? Am I really present or just zoned out? And am I seeing this clearly or maybe comparing myself in a way that just fuels discontent?
That's a perfect everyday example. It shows how subtle these moments of choice really are. And the RFT workbook also highlights befriending, suffering, and reactivity,
yes,
which clear comprehension enables. Right. It lets us approach discomfort with self-compassion, seeing it as temporary, and that breaks the cycle of trying to escape it through destructive, compulsive behaviors.
Precisely. Oh. It fundamentally shifts our whole relationship with discomfort, from fear and aversion to mindful awareness and, crucially, self-compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely central to the journey to freedom.
This has been incredibly illuminating, a really deep dive. Before we wrap up, maybe take a moment, you listening, for some self-reflection. Based on the chapter's prompts, think about this. How often do you move through daily activities, walking, eating, talking on autopilot, versus with conscious awareness?
A really good question to sit with.
And maybe consider, could mindfulness with clear comprehension change your relationship to cravings when they arise? How might that look?
And what's truly transformative here, I think, is recognizing that clear comprehension is that vital navigational intelligence for the RAFT to freedom.
The compass and the chart working together.
Exactly. It enables us to recognize not just what we are doing, but the why and the how. And critically, whether our actions truly serve our journey towards liberation, towards that calmer shore.
That is such a powerful takeaway. Thank you. And to close, a quote straight from the end of Chapter 10 in the RAFT workbook. Let us carry this practice of knowing what we're doing forward as we continue to explore the landscape of the body.
A beautiful way to end.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We really encourage you to continue exploring the RAFT workbook on your own journey to freedom.